Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, Chapter 10, Text Number 8. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The two brothers, Shivas Pandit and Sriram Pandit, started two branches that are well known in the world. Purport. In the Gora Gonadesha Deepika, verse 90, Shivas Pandit is described to be an incarnation of Narada Muni, and Sriram Pandit, his younger brother, is said to be an incarnation of Parvati Muni, a great friend of Narada's. Shivas Pandit's wife, Malini, is celebrated as an incarnation of the nurse Ambika, who fed Lord Krishna with her breast milk. And as already noted, his niece Narayani, the mother of Thakura Vrindavan Das, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, was the sister of Ambika in Krishna Leela. We can also understand from the description of Chaitanya Bhagavat that after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of the sannyas order, Shrivas Pandit left Navadvip, possibly because of feelings of separation, and domiciled at Kormarahata. Text 9. Shripati Srinida Tandra Dwi Sahodara Chari Vaira Dasha Dashi Griha Parikara. Their two brothers were named Shripati and Srinidhi. These four brothers and their servants and maidservants are considered one big branch. There is no counting of the sub-branches of these two branches. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu held congregational chanting daily at the house of Shivas Pandit. Charibhais Savangshekari Chaitanyare Raseva Gora Chandravina Nahi Jane Devi Deva. These four brothers and their family members fully engaged in the service of Lord Chaitanya. They knew no god, other god, or goddesses. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has said, Anya Devashraya Nai Tomare Kahinu Bai A Bhakti Parama Karana. If one wants to become pure, staunch devotee, one should not take shelter of any of the demigods or goddesses. Foolish Mayavadis say that worshipping demigods is as good as worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but that is not a fact. This philosophy misleads people to atheism. One has no idea that who God actually is, thinks that any form he imagines or any rascal he accepts can be God. This acceptance of cheap gods or incarnations of God is actually atheism. It is to be concluded, therefore, that those who worship demigods or self-proclaimed incarnations of God are all atheists. They have lost their knowledge, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Kamaistaistaritigyana prapadyantain yadevata. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods. Bhagavad Gita 7:20. Unfortunately, those who do not cultivate Krishna consciousness and do not properly understand the Vedic knowledge, accept any rascal to be an incarnation of God. And they are of the opinion that one can become an incarnation simply by worshipping a demigod. This philosophical hodgepodge exists under the name of the Hindu religion. But the Krishna consciousness movement does not approve of it. Indeed, we strongly condemn it. Such worship of demigods and so-called incarnations of God should never be confused with the pure Krishna consciousness movement. Mama Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Bhute Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatun Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvise Sarasunyavadi Paskatya De Sitarane. This is one of the major points in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the difference between material activity and spiritual activity. That one who's in the material conception of life, he generally confuses what is spiritual and what is material. As Krishna says, Pravritim cha, Nivritim cha, Jana na vidur asura. na satyam napi chacharo, na sotram napi chacharo, na satyam teshu vidyate. That those who are demons, they don't know what is actually to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor truthfulness nor proper behavior is found in them. In other words, unless one can understand things properly, he'll mistake someone as being God who's actually an ordinary person. And when God himself comes, he'll mistake him for being an ordinary person. Or in other words, he'll mistake an ordinary person for being God, and he'll mistake God for being an ordinary person. This is called the philosophy of illusion. But this is also people's desire. This is also part of the Vedic literature. In the Vedas, in different parts of the Vedas, of which, or we should say the majority of the Vedic literature, is the Karmakanda section, which composes 90% of the Vedic literature. And there, the glorification of the demigods is prominent. In many parts of the Vedas, Indra is declared as being the supreme. Other parts, Vayu is declared as supreme. Agni is declared as supreme. Everyone is declaring Indra as being the source, or at least in the Vedas, certain parts declare Indra is the source of everything. He's the cause behind everything. He created the material universe from his energy. He empowered the Brahma, etc. Because unless people think that they're going to get the maximum benefit from worshiping someone, they won't bother doing it. Even nowadays, people think that I have this job and he's the best boss I could possibly get, or actually the best pay I could possibly get. Everyone has to think within themselves that I've gotten the best deal. Therefore, even when one wants to be cheated, the Vedic literature helps one become cheated by telling them that you've gotten the best deal. This demigod, he's the best one you could possibly hope for. And afterwards, you go to the best possible planet and you get the best of everything. But this is called cheating, according to Krishna, because one is not getting the best possible deal. According to Krishna, Trividyamam Samapaputapapa Jagna Ishvar Swargatim Pratariyante Te Punya Asadya Surandi Lokam Ashnanti Divi Deva Deva Bhogan. That those who study the Vedas and they worship the demigods go to the planets of those demigods. But ultimately, after going there and enjoying on the planets of the demigods, they have to come back to the material world again, to this mortal planet of the earth again. And thus, through following the Vedic principles, they actually achieve only birth and death. We may think it would be nice to visit the planets of the demigods, but in the planets of the demigods, it is the same activities, maybe a little better decorated. Here we eat and sleep and have sex life and defend ourselves. And it's not always so elegant. But there, it is much more elegant. Just like you may eat with your hands, or you may eat with a silver spoon or a golden spoon. So of course, one may be intoxicated with the idea that actually the taste of the food is much nicer because I'm eating with a golden spoon rather than with my hands. Or maybe there, in the heavenly planets, they wash their hands when they eat with their hands, and here we don't. But the taste of the food is the same. Of course, the sense gratification may be of a higher standard. There's much better cooks there. And the beds are much softer. They have a better... There's not so much air pollution, etc. So the standard of sense gratification is higher, but after all, it's simply sense gratification. It is simply lust impelling one to gratify one's senses, and when the senses are gratified, one feels the alleviation of the lust, and therefore he takes that as happiness. But it is the same thing. Punat punas charvita charvanana. But under the spell of illusion, one thinks that one form of sense gratification is much superior to another form of sense gratification. Prabhupada gives the example of wet stool and dry stool. In India, people pass stool in the field, and there are two different philosophies with two groups of people backing them. One philosophy says that the wet stool is much more better, is much better than the part that gets baked by the sun that's dry. And of course, in the material world, there's always an opposing side. So another side says, no, the dry stool is much superior to the wet stool. But after all, it's stool. So wet stool or dry stool, what is the actual difference? Therefore, as long as one remains in the material world and achieving birth and death, he's a loser. Paravas tavada bodha jato yavana jignasita atmatadvam yavan kriyas tavadi damanovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandaha. That as long as one is bound by some kind of material body, he's considered to be defeated by the illusory energy. Because the material body, in any form, means problems. Abrahma bhuvanar loka punar avartano jana. Even Lord Brahma, who, relatively speaking, has a much better position than we can possibly hope for, still, he has to die. Because one has to die, therefore, one will always be in anxiety. One may have a very nice feast before him. He may be in a very elegant place. So many people are serving him. But if he's informed that in 30 minutes you have to die, he'll probably lose his appetite. So, Lord Brahma, he has in the back of his mind all the time that I have to leave this body, that I have to die. And therefore, all his endeavors to maintain the universe, all his hopes and aspirations for the future, ultimately are all destroyed because he also has to leave his body and die. Every moment for Brahma also means a moment closer to death. And even though one may be Brahma one moment, the next moment he may be a germ somewhere in some universe. Therefore, it's not, even Brahma doesn't feel like he has a very secure position. So, what to speak of ourselves? There's a story of the sage who was sitting on the bank of the Ganges and his body was covered with hair. He had so much hair, his name was Loma Sharishi. Loma means hair, and very hairy rishi. And it said that every time one of his hairs would fall out of his body, or one of his hairs would fall out of his body, every time a Brahma would be born and die. But he had so many hairs that he lived for quite a long time, relative to us. But he was sitting there without any cottage, so someone came along and asked him, "My dear sir, why don't you at least build a cottage? You're sitting here and meditating." He said, "What is the sense of building a cottage? I'm only going to be alive for a very short period of time." So, of course, we're here for just a very brief period, so brief that the demigods are amazed that people take it so seriously. They work hard to build all these buildings and construct these roads, make plans for the future, and they're only going to be here for a very brief moment. But one is thinking that we can become happy in the material world. But there is no happiness. There is principally a struggle against the material nature of which everyone becomes paravas, or defeated. And the principal enemy is abodha jata, this ignorance of thinking that we're making progress, that we're being benefited, even by accepting one body or another. As spiritual beings, we have no need to accept material bodies, but due to our false ego, we're obliged to take one body after another, and we maintain our false ego because we refuse to admit that we're actually servants of Krishna, eternally. We think that, let me become a servant of this demigod, worship the demigod, because eventually I'll become that demigod. I'll kick him out of his position. I'll go there, I'll kick him out of his position. I'll become the demigod. And anyone who worships me, I won't take very seriously. I won't give him the result, because he'll probably come and kick me out of my position too. That I'll be the first demigod who will live forever. Therefore, in the material world, there is no love. There is simply business. I do some business with you so I can get some advantage from you. There is no actually love, therefore there's no real happiness, there's no security. But under illusion, one is thinking that he's actually going to be happy in some other position. But this is all the mode of ignorance. Real happiness comes when one simply surrenders to Krishna, although when they think that this is very hard, demand of Krishna's, sarva dharman parijaja, mame kam sharanam vraja, ahang tvang sarva papebhyo mokshi shami masuchaha. That this is a very hard demand of Krishna. After all, in the material world, everyone is demanding surrender, but Krishna is saying, give up everything. Give up my TV programs, my pet dog, my cat, everything else, and just surrender to Krishna. And then we think, all right, I've given these things up, and now still Krishna is not satisfied. He wants complete surrender, that I have to come to the platform of at every moment being completely conscious of him and becoming like a puppet on a string. Simply whatever he wants me to do, I have to do eternally. So for the conditioned soul, this is probably the most bitter pill to swallow. That eternally I have to become connected with this blue cowherd boy, and whatever he does, I simply become like a robot and I just carry it out spontaneously. And even if I want to quit, they say it's so nice I can't quit. I become addicted to it. No one has ever quit. It becomes such a big addiction that one can't leave his association. So we think, all right, let me take it real slow. Let me take my progress real slow and carefully before I completely surrender, because it's a long-term commitment forever. So in the meantime, if Krishna doesn't fulfill my desire, then I'll try out a demigod or two and see what that's like. But Krishna condemns this as the same thing, kaimaisthaisthairhitajnana prapadyantena devata. It is simply the same lust, simply in a more sophisticated form. Yepyanyeva devata bhakta yadante shadyanvita tepimam eva kunteya yajanya vidipurvakam. That those who take to the worship of the demigods, Krishna says that they do so with the wrong understanding, because this is illegal, avidipurvaka. It is the same, one becomes captured by the same illusory energy as any hog or dog becomes captured by. It is simply a more sophisticated form of imprisonment. Just like if one is invited to go to prison. So one may think, well, let me qualify myself for the first-class prison cell. Let me go to a prison which has a nice television in it. And if I can get one with a color TV, then it won't be so bad. Because nowadays people probably think like that, because that's more or less what they do anyhow. Sometimes people, they don't mind going to prison because they think that all I do is watch television anyhow, and if I go to prison, I don't have to work so hard to pay for rent. I can simply sit in my room all day and watch television. So more or less people are already in prison. But Krishna says that avidipurvakam, that these things are all illegal. Therefore, people who worship demigods, they don't know. Aham hi sarva jagnanam bhokta cha prabhur eva cha tu mam abhijananti tatvenas tasuyanti che. That those who worship any other demigods, they don't know that I'm the only enjoyer, the only master of all sacrifices, that if you don't worship me, Krishna says, then you fall down. So this is how things are. We have a choice in human form of life. Either we surrender to Krishna, or we can choose from 8,400,000 species and try out one more, see what this is like. The demigods, I didn't like that. I had too much responsibility. So let me try out the body of a hog for a while. I won't have any responsibility, and I get all the food I want, have all the sex life I want. I can sleep as long as I want. No alarm clocks, nothing. No job to do. Simply eat and have sex. And when I get tired of that, I just go to sleep. So let me try out the body of a hog for a while and see what that's like. So essentially, that's what everyone's trying out. This is different forms of life, trying to see what the sense gratification is like in that form. But here Krishna says you have another choice. One can actually worship Krishna. But in order to worship Krishna, one has to give up his aspiration to try out one more form of life. Because when one takes the Krishna consciousness, it means freedom from all entanglement. Just like you can't remain in prison and expect to be completely free. If you think, well, now they're going to kick me out of my prison cell, you know, my time's up, what can I do to stay back in here? Because if I go outside, then I'll have to work again. So let me ask them if they can extend my prison cell for another, you know, 50 years, my prison term. So if one wants to remain in the material world, if one thinks that this sort of life is nice, birth, death, old age and disease, so much variety, so many different types of new miseries every moment, no one knows what surprise they'll get the next moment, what kind of misery will pop up. If one is thinking that this is a very interesting life, being afflicted with so many different types of sufferings, then he can stay here forever. Krishna has said, yes, if you want to stay here, you can stay here forever. But it is also said that tasyaiva heto priyate te govido nalabhyate yad brahmatam upariyada talabhyate dukavaranyatak sukam kalena sarvatra gavira ramhasa. That those who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor for that purposeful end, which is not obtainable by wandering up and down throughout the three planetary systems. As far as material happiness goes, that will be obtained in due course of time, just like in due course of time one obtains miseries without even seeking them. Therefore, although we may think that in order to obtain happiness we have to go through a whole endeavor, but the fact is that even after going through a whole endeavor to obtain happiness, one gets the same standard of happiness as he'll get even if he doesn't go through any endeavor. Just like no one works hard to get misery, but without any endeavor, one gets plenty of misery, according to one's past activities. Therefore, it's not advised that one spoil his time working hard for sense gratification. Instead, one should endeavor to utilize his time to go back to the spiritual world. So this is what Krishna is advising here. He doesn't advise anything else. As he says, Yanti deva vrata devan pitri yanti putri vrataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajino pima. That whatever we focus our attention on, naturally we become addicted to. Whatever we focus our attention on, then whatever we put our heart into, then that becomes reality to us. So if we focus our attention and give our love to Krishna, then the reality of Krishna consciousness is revealed to us, and we desire to get a spiritual body. And if by our association we focus our attention on other things, that of becoming a demigod, of course that's very rare nowadays. People have no idea that there are demigods. They don't believe any more in a demigod than they do believe in Krishna. Because there are no persons, Brahmin priests, who can actually infuse that faith in demigods. But people do believe in other things like movie stars and ghosts and spirits, things that people think are really down to earth. More practical thing, like if I really want to become ghosts. Just like nowadays, if someone comes and they have the power to show you a ghost, bring back your old Uncle Jim, you know, let you talk to Uncle Jim, people get really inspired. Let me find out how Uncle Jim is eating and sleeping now. Find out what he has, you know, whether his arthritis is still bothering him or not. So someone comes and one immediately wants to find out, you know, you sit around at a table and the table lifts up in the air and Uncle Jim appears. Tells you I'm still suffering from arthritis, although I don't have any bones. So one thinks that this is actually elevation. And in the next lifetime, one, at the time of death, one remembers Uncle Jim or whatever, and he goes to Uncle Jim. Therefore, in this age, our choices are quite limited, and they're quite of a low caliber. Shri Radha Gopinath. Everywhere, especially in modern society, in every part of the world, you have the pearly gates. And everyone's going through those golden gates. They have advertisements to go through the golden gates. But on the other side is the slaughterhouse. That's actually what you're entering into, is a slaughterhouse, no matter how well decorated it is. But the golden gates, when you go through them, that's they advertise, and you're more or less going to a slaughterhouse. In your next birth, you'll be grunting. Or, you know, whatever other sounds you're going to be making. And you'll also wound up in the golden gates, through the doors of the golden gates, but in a different form, between two buns. So this is what people are focusing their attention on. They think that this is actually a very exalted thing. We're here sitting in this wonderful restaurant, and now we're going to be served this wonderful food. And if one actually analyzes what it's made out of, you know, probably it's made out of all kinds of things. They say that there's a certain percentage of sawdust that's allowed in hamburgers. There's a certain percentage of rat stool, and because it's hard to keep the rats away there. You know, sawdust gets in there every once in a while. And the organs that are allowed, any part of the body is allowed. So although it looks, you know, quite well, you know, wrapped up, but if one actually knew what was inside of it, you know, he probably would have to go to the bathroom real quick. But because it's the same quality as everything else in the mature world, simply something external, people don't even bother thinking. Matter of fact, when they're eating, they probably don't even think about what it really tastes like. They put enough ketchup on it and everything else that they don't have to taste it. They're just trying to squeeze a little blood out of it, that's all. Because that's essentially the taste of it, is simply a little blood left in it. In any case, by that endeavor, by that focusing the mind, it is assured the next lifetime they'll take another species of life less than that of a demigod or human being. But this is people's choice. They don't know that according to their activities, they're going to develop a certain type of mentality, and according to the mentality, they're going to get another body. But because they have no information about that, therefore blindly they go on chewing the chewed and creating for themselves a very horrible situation in the future. Therefore, Prabhupada, as representative of the disciple succession, would speak very strongly and say that this is all nonsense. Of course, people who are less intelligent would object that the Swamiji, he's so hard, he doesn't glorify the other saints like Gandhi and Vivekananda and other persons. But if one follows these persons, then he's assured to come back again and suffer repeated birth and death. Because their philosophy, as Prabhupada writes here, is all hodgepodge. If one doesn't accept Krishna as supreme, then one has to accept something else as supreme. But at least according to the Vedic literature, no one else is supreme, nothing else is supreme except for Krishna. So if one wants to serve the root, Taro yatatara mula nisheshunena triptyanti tatskanda bujo pushaka pranoparach chayatendriyanam tataiva sarvahanam atuteja. If one actually wants to serve the Supreme and get the Supreme benefit, then one has to surrender to Krishna. And if someone has another idea, the Prabhupada used to say that at least don't let them use the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's own work, to put forward their other idea. Because Bhagavad Gita is very clear. Krishna is saying, Aham hi sarva jagnanam bhokta cha prabhur eva cha, that I am the only enjoyer, that I am the only truth, that anyone who doesn't surrender to that, they fall down to the material existence. So at least don't let them utilize Krishna's Bhagavad Gita and say that Krishna doesn't know what he's talking about. That Krishna is also subject to illusion, and we have to reinterpret his words according to our understanding. If one feels like that, that Krishna is wrong, that he doesn't know what he's talking about, he needed me, you know, Bogus Ananda, to reinterpret his Bhagavad Gita, then why use the Bhagavad Gita? Let him write his own book. That if he doesn't believe in Krishna's words, let him write his own book. But no, they want to utilize Krishna's words because Krishna is popular and his work, Bhagavad Gita, is popular, and they want to distort his meaning for their own interpretation. Therefore, if one follows such a person, that, as it says in the Ishupanishad, that those who are bogus, that they go to the darkest regions of existence along with all their followers. So you can follow him to the darkest regions of existence. And there you can chant the glories of Bhogananda, because he took me to the darkest regions of existence. And instead, one should actually hear a Bhagavad Gita through the civil succession, come to the conclusion of surrendering to Krishna as being the most advantageous position of the soul, because by surrender to Krishna, one is reinstated in one's natural position, by which one actually comes back to one's spiritual consciousness. We shouldn't think that if I become Krishna conscious, if I become conscious of Krishna, I'm going to lose something. All one loses is his false ego, and all his activities after that are actually in the state of health, where one is spontaneously attracted to Krishna and doesn't want anything else. But Krishna is so attractive, and he has such a nice relationship with his eternally liberated servants. Krishna is always trying to please them, always appearing in newer and newer forms and ways just to keep their attention and their attraction in unlimited forms and unlimited ways. It's not that Krishna thinks, well, I'm God, everyone surrender to me. Either you surrender to me or you go to hell or you go, you know. So you got your choice and that's it. And when you surrender to me, then I just put you to work in one of the factories in the spiritual world. And there you just work for nothing, that's all. And in case you complain, I just throw you back down into the material world and you got to suffer again until you finally agree to come back and work in my factory for free. It's not like that. That's our material conception of what surrender is like. We think surrender, you know, what a horrible term. We conceive of surrender. As soon as I surrender to someone, immediately they put their foot on my head and they grind my head into the ground. So that these material conceptions should not be held in relationship to surrender to Krishna. Because it is said, jita jito tais trilokyam, jita jito yasyasi tais trilokyam, that if one surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna also surrenders to the devotee. Yeyatamam prapayante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. That if one surrenders to Krishna, then one becomes, as one becomes a servant to Krishna, then Krishna proportionally surrenders himself to the devotee. So much so that the devotees, they don't pray sometimes to Krishna, sometimes they pray to persons such as Nanda Maharaj, that I'm not interested in worshiping Krishna, let me worship Nanda Maharaj, because Krishna, as a small little boy, is crawling in his yard. When Nanda Maharaj tells Krishna to go get my shoes, then Krishna goes and tries to bring his shoes. So we shouldn't think, well, Krishna, he just does this on this planet. Is this a show? Actually, he's trying to trick us. As soon as we surrender, he's going to expand himself in the universal form and grab us. No, actually, Krishna, in a coward boy in Vrindavan, this is his actual eternal position. And he doesn't think himself God in that position, that he voluntarily surrenders himself under the influence of his own energy called Yogamaya. He's actually thinking he's the son of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda. And he acts eternally like a little cowherd boy. Therefore, one should try to understand things properly, what it means to surrender to Krishna, and one may become a little bit more interested in doing that, especially since the alternative is not very promising. So we'll stop there. Are there any questions? Thank you.
Yeah, that's it. It's his envy.
Because the last, just like if you're a thief, you just robbed a bank, the last person you want to meet on the street is a policeman. Anyone else you meet on the street, you know, it would be all right, but the last person you want to meet is the policeman. So, because our mentality is that we've come here to become supreme, therefore the last person we want to meet is Krishna. So this may be hard to understand, but if we think about it, even, you know, Krishna, considering how great he is, we think about other people who are less important than Krishna, how we feel envy towards them also. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when I hear about someone's suffering, I become enlivened in the material world. And when I hear about, that's why people buy newspapers, just to find out how everyone else is suffering. That way they don't feel so bad themselves. And when they hear about someone, how he's making advancement, they feel sick and disgusted. So, what to speak of Krishna, we're envious of other insignificant living entities. Even they kill animals thinking that let this animal suffer and I'll enjoy. Isn't that the mentality? Let this creature suffer, and if someone comes along with some philosophy that this is not nice, then I'll reject it. And I'll just come up with some philosophy, as Prabhupada said, give the dog a bad name, then hang it. So we won't call it an animal. We won't believe that there's such a thing as a soul in the animal, and that it has any feelings. That these tears that it's shedding when you take its calf away, they're actually chemicals. Just, you know, of course, when someone comes with a knife and I start crying, then it's not chemicals. But for the animal, it's just some chemicals. It's a chemical reaction. So one invents a philosophy just to cover over one's enviousness. That let this other living entity suffer and I'll enjoy. That way I'll feel good. So it's difficult to give up this envious attitude. But it's possible if one takes the devotional service. If one takes shelter of Krishna, then it's possible to gradually get free from this enviousness towards other living entities. What do they think they're going to get? Sense gratification. One day they'll kick the guru out of his position and they'll become the guru. What else do they think? What is the guru's promise? Mystic power, sense gratification, whatever else. They don't promise to go back to Godhead. As far as I know, they don't say, well, you follow me, surrender. I'm just an instrument for Krishna. Surrender to me, you'll go to Vaikuntha. Because if you surrender, I'm Krishna's representative. They don't say, don't surrender to me, surrender to Krishna. No, if anyone who says surrender to me and they don't say surrender to Krishna, then they're bogus. So what else are they expecting? Sense gratification. Well, I never heard the word screaming. Yeah, out of love. The idea, the mood is separation. You know, loving separation. That's not disturbing. If our mood is loving, if our mood is, you know, wah, wah, that kind of thing is disturbing to everyone. If you cry like that, if you chant like that, they'll put you in a padded cell. Oh, it should be feeling a separation. Just like a child is innocent. It's not thinking, where's my mother? You know, I want some, you know, you should go to the grocery store or something, or I need some money, or I need some this or that. When it's crying simply out of feeling of separation, lovingly. Now when we cry to Krishna, we think, you know, Krishna, you know, I have an ache in my hip, and my tooth hurts me, I haven't paid the rent, and maybe you can give me a good job. So we have so many material motivations when we cry to Krishna. But a baby is innocent, simply wants his mother, and that's it. So that mood, the innocence of a child.
Yeah, the only real counseling is Krishna counseling Arjuna. Everything else will simply is not very good counseling. If on the basis of counseling, you wind up in another material body, you know, you've solved your problems, that you were looking for, you were feeling some anxiety about, you know, working too hard, and if you, in the next, and after doing that, after getting some counseling, they say, relax, take it easy. In the next lifetime, you wind up as a bear, sleeping for 6 months, taking it easy. It's not the best counseling. So the only real counseling is Krishna counseling Arjuna. It's not that Krishna, speaking to Arjuna, he left something out that some counselor had to take up and enlighten us about. Because they don't want to accept what Krishna has to say. Either they don't understand what Krishna has to say, or basically they don't want to accept what Krishna has to say. That's why they don't understand it. Krishna says surrender, and Prabhupada, for instance, says come to the program and chant Hare Krishna and the association of devotees, study the philosophy, this and that. But they don't want to do that. They want the kingdom of God without God, without following the process. Therefore, they go to some person to cheat them. Some person will tell them that you don't really need the process. You can be peaceful and happy without it. Therefore, sometimes people are so bewildered that the only authority they'll accept is some counselor. And therefore, sometimes the devotees have to go there, and hopefully the counselor will say that, eventually tell them that you should just follow the process. So if the only person they'll accept is a counselor, and if the counselor tells them to follow the process, then that's good. And if the counselor tells them to do something else, then they've just spoiled their time. Atsat sanga tyaga e vaishnavachar stri sangi eka asaru krishna bhakta ar. If one is attached to sense gratification, he doesn't follow the rules and regulations of Shastra, and he's not a devotee of Krishna, then by his association, one goes to hell. Well, there's a story of the doctor, the veterinarian. So the veterinarian, you know that story. So he had one apprentice, and the apprentice, he was learning, and the doctor, the first horse he met, had a big lump in his throat, so he took a hammer and knocked his throat with a hammer. So the apprentice thought that now I've learned how to become a veterinarian. And soon the word came to the experienced veterinarian that his apprentice was going around killing all the animals by hitting them with a hammer in the throat. So finally he caught up with the veterinarian and told him, he said, what are you doing? He said, well, I just watched what you did, and I've been following you. He said, but this horse swallowed a watermelon, and I hit him in the throat with a hammer just to crack the watermelon, and then he swallowed it, and he was all right. But you're just going around imitating me and killing all the animals. So when one is in a class amongst the devotees, one can preach a little bit more strongly than on the street. You know, tell people, surrender to Krishna or else you're going to become a dog. You know, take this book or else you're going to become a dog or a cat in your next lifetime if you're lucky. So such a preaching probably will not inspire people to take up the process. But on the other hand, if you're amongst devotees, you preach, well, you know, Krishna is speaking a little strong here, you have to forgive Prabhupada, you know. Actually, he really didn't mean we had to surrender to Krishna, he just said that because, you know, someone had to say it. But no, one has to actually, the fact is that Prabhupada's putting in his purpose what reality is. But as Prabodhananda Saraswati said, that our method of preaching to people in general is that we go to them with a straw between our teeth, not that we're very humbly, because otherwise people won't listen, because everyone's looking for a good servant. So if you go there imitating a good servant with a straw between your teeth, then people think, oh, this is very cute. He's bowing down before me, offering obeisances 1,000 times, flattering him. And then finally one will think, all right, I appreciate your flattery and your, you know, acknowledgement of how great I am. Maybe I can do something for you. What can I do for you? because I'm so generous. So he said, and then one tells him, my dear sir, kindly kick out from your head all this nonsense you've learned and accept the lotus feet of Chaitanya Chandra. So in people in general, we have to talk very humbly. That way people will become a little receptive and may be able to appreciate some of the philosophy. Anything else? Grantara Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Kidai, Srila Prabhupada Kidai, Gaur Premanande.